everything was just wonderful. And again, we welcome everyone to the house of the Lord, all the visitors. Thank God you're here with us. As you leave this morning, the ushers will be standing at the back to receive your love offerings, your tithes, and for the visitor's card, if you will, please. And we have a lot of people back with us this morning. They've been out for a while. We have Brother David Gentry's had surgery this week, and he's back with us, shoulder surgery. We've had other people that the Lord has touched, and we praise his high and holy name for that. Turn your Bibles, please, to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 38. Wonderful passage, much discussed, many different views, but one accurate view. I don't proclaim to be the authority on everything, but so clear to me, God has shown me so much about this chapter, about the next chapter, chapter 39. I really wasn't going to preach this message this morning. I was going to preach another message that God had given me about God putting a gig in a nation's hearts and sending them against his own people. Many times he did that. But every time that God did that, because of Israel's disobedience, and he would raise up other nations to tell them to go invade them and to take captives and tear them down, every time it was for punishment, and never once did he stop the invasion because he orchestrated it. But here we have a different thing. The prophet Ezekiel is writing prophecy over 2,600 years from now, from right now. And this is going to happen. The title of the message this morning is Upcoming Events on God's Calendar. Some things that we know. I began this study by looking at other times, and we'll be preaching that message tonight. And the Second Chronicles chapter 20, how invading armies were about to overtake Judah and Jehoshaphat, and the people went to the Lord and said, "Lord, help." And God did miraculous things. He stopped that invasion. But this time we're going to see that God initiates a planned invasion. And we'll see why. There's a lot of things we need to cover this morning, and time won't permit me to dwell on it too much, but let's look at the text together. We'll be reading chapter 38, verse 1. "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying," prophet Ezekiel, listen what the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Son of man, set thy face against God." Look directly in that direction. And set your face against him. "The land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshael and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshael and Tubal, and I will turn thee back, and put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth." Isn't that interesting? God's initiating him. He's sending him forth. But then he's prophesied he will turn him back. And we'll see the reasons for all this after a while. "And all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even the great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords, Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya with them, all of them with shield and helmets." I want to look at, and I want to ask this morning from God's word, I want to ask us six questions, and God's going to give answers to them. First of all, who were these nations that God chose for this, what they thought was invasion? He tells us fairly clearly. Now remember, in Ezekiel's time, there wasn't, some of these nations hadn't even been born yet. The people were there, the generations. But let's look at, who did God choose? He says, Gog, turn your face against God. Gog is a ruler, a person. And this ruler is going to be over the invading armies, they think they're going to invade. They make an effort. They're going down there. They're going to try to tear down. And we will look at the reason. Who are they? Well, look at it again. It says in the land of Magog. That whole territory is around the north, the Black Sea. And it involves Russia. It involves the Ukraine. It involves Turkey, Iran, and all those. We're told that right here in the Word of God. And look, he said, Magog is a land north and east, which would be a lot of Russia and part of the Ukraine. And then he says, Meshel and Tubal. That is southern Russia. Remember, Russia has added, they've taken away. But God knows at the last day what's going to happen, who's going to take place. And then we see Turkey, one of the main things, and Iran. He mentions Persia. He mentions verse 5, Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya. We know who they are. They have changed their name, except Persia is now Iran, very clearly. So we have seen who God is dealing with. And you wonder, and would ask the question, when is this invasion that God has told them they're going to do? He puts hooks in their jaws. He brings them forth and he tells them to go invade. When is this going to take place? Now, a lot of people think this is the Battle of Armageddon. It is not. Several reasons that we know it is not, because the Battle of Armageddon is going to be last of tribulation. And the Bible says all nations, America, and all nations will turn against Israel. Here is a selected group. America is not involved. If it were so, he would have mentioned it. We're not involved in this invasion, and a lot of other nations are not either. But these are select nations, so this is not the battle. But let's look at verse 8 and 9, and we can find out more. When is this invasion going to take place? We know who's going to be the invaders. Verse 8 says, and after many days thou shalt be visited, in the latter years thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste, but it is brought forth out of the nations. And they shall dwell safely, all of them. We see a lot of this already taking place, because people, for several years now, ever since Israel has been a nation, 1948, 1949, God established this nation, and people, Americans, and people from Israelites have been headed back to Israel by the droves all these years. That prophecy has been in part fulfilled and is still being fulfilled. And God is sending his people, the Jews, back to Israel. Verse 9 says, thou shalt ascend and come like a storm. Thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land. Thou and all thy bands and many people with thee. God is going to do the choosing, who goes, who thinks they're going to invade Israel. Now, God is doing all this for a reason. We're going to look at that reason after a while. And let's say, why did Gog think that he was going to invade him? What was he going to benefit out of it? Well, the Bible tells us. So he didn't know all God had planned. And now Gog, remember, is the ruler, not just a Russian ruler, but the other armies that have been with Russia. Russia may be the main one, but Turkey also, and Iran, Persia, Ethiopia. But they have to have a ruler, and Gog, ever who that ruler is, we don't know. But it is Gog, the one that God calls Gog. And when's it going to take place? It's going to take place, we do not know. Nobody knows when it's going to take place, but it is near. God's prophecy has already been declared 2,600 years ago. Some of the events have taken place. If you look at the world map and you read the news and read the newspapers and watch TV, you can see how maybe it's already starting to take place. We don't understand all that, nor do we have to, but we know it will. It is soon at hand. What did God think that he was going to get out of his invasion? What was his plan? Well, the Bible tells us in verse 10. Thus saith the Lord God, it shall also come to pass that at the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought. Now, the interesting, God puts thoughts in rulers' heads and to do an evil thing. Well, God was the one, of course, that orchestrated so many things. God brought Nebuchadnezzar against Israel. He puts evil thoughts. God treats rulers like that, do not know him, that do not trust him. Even it could be rulers in America. God can turn people over to reprobate mind really easy. Read the first chapter of the book of Romans. And God says when people don't attain to and don't recognize God in their lives, in the universe, and they keep going and they keep going, God turns their mind over to reprobate mind and they can't reason. And so you see political leaders are across the world and you say, why did they do that? Well, the verse just told us why. God, thou shalt think an evil thought. God tends to their mind. And the evil thought was that they will go plunder, go destroy. God is the one orchestrating this. Look at verse 11. And thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. He even knows what God's going to say and what he's already planned. This person is going to get all these countries together around the sea, the Black Sea. And he's going to put in their heart that they're going to plunder, they're going to invade. And they think those villages down there, they're unwalled. There's no defense down there. And let's go get them. And God's going to let them think that they can. And all of them dwelling without walls, and having to take a spoil and to take a prey, to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited, and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations, that's the Israelites, the Jews, that's headed back to Israel from all nations, which have gotten cattle and goods that dwell in the midst of the land. Skip to verse 15. And thou shalt come from all, from thy place out of the north parts, thy and many people with thee, and all of them riding upon horses, a great company and a mighty army. Of course, in Ezekiel's days, there wasn't tanks, there wasn't airplanes, because what if he would God knew what would happen, of course, but Ezekiel now is writing things that people of that generation understood. He didn't say tanks because people, you know, 200 years ago and all the way through, for the last 2,600 years, 2,400 of those, they say, what's tanks, what's missiles, what's airplanes? So he says vehicles are things, they're going to get there. And now we've looked at three different questions. Why did God choose these people and who did God choose? And when is this invasion going to take place? And what did all these nations think they were going for? Well, we know what God did to them. He gave them evil thoughts. And he got them all entangled in what they thought they would do. And here they go because they have no reason and God changes their reasoning. But let's look at one of the primary questions in all this. We've seen so much. God did it. He orchestrated it. Why would God do this? Well, we know the scripture says that there's no flesh shall glory in his sight. So first of all, we know even without reading that all things work together for good to those that love the Lord. And God does everything for the glory and for the praise that he should get because he's God. He inhabits and he's the one that is over everything. And God does things for his glory and that the world will know who he is. So verse 16 and 17 tells us why God arranged all this. Verse 16, and thou shalt come up against my people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days, and I will bring thee against my land. Here's the reason, that the heathen may know me when I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog, before their eyes. Gog, you don't know it. Ruler of Russia and these other countries, you don't know what I'm doing, and you're falling to my plan, but I'm going to do it, and I'm going to let all the people know who I am, and all the people will understand that I am in charge. Look at it again. That the heathen may know. See, most of these people, if not all of them, are heathens. They don't believe in God. Oh, they got many gods, but not the Lord God. And he said to be sanctified in them before their eyes. God is doing this to let the heathen know that he is God. He's planned it. He's orchestrated. He's got them all going through the mountains of Israel now. But God's going to do a great work. Verse 17. Thus saith the Lord God, art thou he of whom I have spoken in old time by my servants, the prophets of Israel, which prophesied in those days? Many years that I would bring thee against them. I've been telling my prophets all the years. And God has told all that he is against. And we don't understand that. And it takes a long time to try to look at the scripture and say, why is God so against these people around the Black Sea? It's a long story. But we don't have to know the reason, because we know he's done right, he's doing right, and he will do right. Since God has chosen them to bring them down and teach them a lesson. First of all, because they don't believe in him. They're heathen. They try to stop the work of Christ. Now, the fifth question would be, what will God do in the midst of all this? He's got them started. He's given them evil thoughts. He thinks they're going to invade, to plunder, to get all these riches and all these resources. That's what they think. Now God's going to tell us. He told us why he did it. Now let's look what he's going to do to stop this so-called invasion. He knew from the start it wouldn't be successful. Remember now, when God has told other nations through the word of God to go deal with my nation Israel because they wouldn't serve me, he's always let it follow through. Not this time, because this is not the plan. This is the purpose, to let the heathen know and Israel know that he is God. What will God do in the midst of this so-called conflict? It hasn't happened yet. They prepared. They spent years. They spent months. They spent billions of dollars now to try to do this invasion, and they're on their way. Verse 18 is going to tell us in the next few verses why God did this and what he's going to do in the midst of this conflict. Verse 18. And it shall come to pass at the same time when Gog shall come against the land of Israel, saith the Lord God, that my fury shall come up in my face. God's got every plan that he knows your thoughts. He knows the day, the time. He knows all the people before they may be born now. I wouldn't doubt if they aren't. But God knows everything about everything. And then when he sees how atrocious, how they hate, why does all the world hate Israel? Because Jesus Christ was born there, because God loves Israel. And if you're a heathen, and you don't believe in God, then why would you be so against God? Because they, in their hearts, they were born. We looked Wednesday night. The very thought that even the child, Jesus came to be the light of the world. And John says in the book of John that he lighteth every man. When a child is born, when the child is in the womb of a mother, when that child takes his first breath, even in the womb, I believe, the light of God, the Spirit of God is in that child, showing them that there is a God, the book of Romans chapter 1. And now they knew it, but when they would not attain or believe in God, then God changes them. So now the heathen, they weren't born this way, don't be mistaken, because John says the light of the gospel, Jesus Christ, the light, the power of the Holy Spirit would be within them to teach them, but then other things change them. Let's look at verse 19. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath have I spoken. Surely in that day there shall be great shaking in the land of Israel. Earthquakes. And the whole world will feel it, of course, but these earthquakes are going to come. And this is one way God's going to stop this invasion. So that the fishes of the sea and the fowls of the heaven, and the beasts of the field, and all creeping things that creep upon the earth, and all the men that are upon the face of the earth, shall shake at my presence, and the mountains shall be thrown down, and the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. and I will call for a sword against him throughout all my mountains, saith the Lord God. Every man's sword shall be against his brother, and I will plead against him with pestilence and with blood. And I will rain upon him and upon his bands and upon many people that are with him, an overflowing rain and great hailstones, fire and brimstone. See, Israel won't have to do anything in their defense, no doubt, because of satellite and everything. They see them coming. We're going to look tonight another indication another time back in the 2 Chronicles chapter 20 when the other people were going to the Edomites and the other nations were going to invade Israel, and they didn't have to do a thing. God took vengeance, and it's God. And today in our lives, we go through turmoil, we go through all kinds of things, and we think we have to fight our own battle. No, if we belong to him, he fights our battle. All we have to do is be in the center of his will. He takes care of us. God is the protector of his people. And then verse 22, I will plead against him with pestilence. Verse 23, thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. What will God do in the midst of this? Earthquake, pestilence, and all these hail, like great hailstones. And he's going to defeat the nations, and Israel won't have to do a thing. Why is God doing all this? To let the world know, Israel know, and let all the heathen know that he is God. He will magnify himself, thus saith the Lord. Well, the last question, we've covered five questions. Let's look at the last question. What's going to happen to Gog, the ruler? Or who this ruler is, he's over Russia and these other nations. He has brought them together, and he is there also. What is God going to do to him? Well, the Bible tells us. Let's turn the Bibles over to book chapter 39, Ezekiel chapter 39. We're going to see. We've kind of had to skip a lot. It's probably a five-part message, and this may be the introduction. God may, and I hope, will allow me to go back and fill in more details later. But look at 39, Ezekiel 39, verse 11. The sixth and last question we're going to answer by God's word. I'm not answering. This is what God's going to do. We've only proposed the questions that were in their mind. Why is this taking place? Who are these people? Why did God do all that? Why did God do that? What will God do? And then the last question is, what will happen to the ruler, ever who this ruler is, of Russia and the southern nations? Ezekiel 39:11, and it shall come to pass in that day that I will give unto Gog, that person, a place there of graves in Israel, the valley of the passengers on the east of the sea, and it shall stop the noses of the passengers, and there shall they bury Gog and all his multitude, and they shall call it the valley of Harmagog. God's already got the place laid out. He knows exactly where Gog and these other people. He knows everything. 2,600 years and God knows all this. He planned it. He orchestrated it. He will carry it through. And tonight we're going to say, boy, if God does that and he can, then we don't have to worry about the thing, because there's other prophecies that will come to pass, and we're going to see that, hey, if we believe what God told us about this, then we're not going to have to worry much, are we? We don't have to worry any. Look at verse 21. And I will set my glory among the heathen. Now he's doing this for his glory, of course. And all the heathen shall see my judgment that I have executed, and my hand that I have laid upon them. So the house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord their God from that day and forward. Right now, Israel believes in God the Father. But as a nation, as individuals, some of them do. I've met some that do, but there's not a lot. Most Israelites reject the fact that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. But now, in that day, they're going to understand and know that Jesus Christ, God has turned all everything over to the right hand, that he is, Jesus Christ is the one in charge. And they're going to understand that. And God is doing these things to let Israel know and to let the heathen know who he is. Verse 23. And the heathen shall know that the house of Israel went into captivity for their iniquity, because they trespassed against me. Therefore hid I my face from them, and gave them into the land to the hand of their enemies. So fell they all by the sword, according to their uncleanliness, and according to their transgressions have I done unto them, and hid my face from them. The word Harmagog, all it means is the multitude of God, all the people he brought with him, the whole multitude. And it's going to be given to their name in that valley, and they're going to be buried. And the passengers by, for months and months, they will smell the stinks of it. See, God is the God of his word, and everything God does is for his honor and his glory. Today, we understand that all these events are yet to happen, but they're on God's schedule. They will happen at his time. It is not the battle of Armageddon, not the last battle in the tribulation. And we don't understand, nor does anyone. If God had wanted us to know more about that, then he would have told us more. But we know it is soon to come. And we can look at the news and we can see how things could develop, although he could change things overnight. But all these nations that God has mentioned, it is not all nations, very distinct, very, what do you mean? If you still want to believe this battle of Armageddon, then you got to take out the verses of scripture, and y'all wouldn't do that for you. Then the battle of Armageddon, all nations shall turn against Israel. Not so, only a partial number. It is definitely not the battle of Armageddon, a separate battle. And God's arranged it, he's planned it, God will get the glory. And my life and your life is hid with Christ in God. Every day of our life, we should be giving him honor and glory. And reading passages like this, that the prophet wrote by the hand of the Lord, and every detail that God has already proclaimed will come to pass, and it will. We're going to see tonight that when God prophesies something, it will come to pass, sometimes in short order, sometimes in long order, but it will. And God's told you and I a lot, that their life is hid with Christ and God, and he takes care of their needs. He cares about us. He worries. He doesn't worry, but he is not willing that we should go through this life with all the turmoil and bitterness and all the worry that there could be out there by us looking at the world situation today. And what will we do? Why is our leaders doing these crazy things? Easy to see. Because when God changes people's mind, they can't reason. But God's got it all planned out. All powers, all authorities are ordained of God. He brings judgment against Israel. He brings judgment, and he is against America. He will bring judgment against any nation that forsakes him and doesn't look to him for everything and acknowledge him. He's God. He's done right, he's doing right, and he definitely will do right. But the question would be, the final question, number 7, what will we do? Will we bow our knees and say, Lord, everyone stand, please. Come to the piano and the organ, if you will, please. Will we acknowledge him while we have opportunity? Will we bend our knees? And will we utter his name in thanksgiving, in humility, and humbleness? We'll say, Lord, forgive us of our trespasses of sin. If you're not saved, Lord, save me. Altar is open. You see, that question has to be answered too. God answers all these other questions that we ask. But then the question, he lets you and I have a question. What will you do? What will I do? Will I honor him and serve him? Put him first in my life. And God's already told us the reason he has let Israel all these many years be in bondage and not be free, because they didn't serve him. They didn't honor him. God will do the same to any people. And Israel was his people. And we are his people, but God expects you and me honor him in our deeds and everything we do. Altar is open. Would you please come? Obey the Lord. Brother Randy, could you come sing that song for us? Let's all sing that song. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. He's calling you. He's calling me to a life of service, a life of dedication, a life of praise and honor. Remember, he is doing all this for his glory, and everything we should be doing in our lives is for his glory. And if we do, and if we are, he'll bless us. And if America keeps turning against him, he cannot, nor he will not, go against his word. Except America, we can't deal with the fact or even change the fact of what others do, but we can deal with the fact what I'll do, what you'll do. That's a question. Brother Randy.